What's good, everybody? PD Camarillo here, live from the Good News Radio Station. Microphone check 1, 2. What's good? I'm holding it down, man. Tonight, I am the other half. I am the half. I am the whole. I'm holding it down for Touchdowns and Tangents tonight. Well, Kenny is over in Mobile. Shout out to Kenny. Shout out to Kenny. And one more, just because that's what he would do. But yeah, man, if you haven't been following along, make sure you get involved at TDs_tangents on Instagram and Twitter. You can see all the great coverage Kenny's been doing live from the Senior Bowl all week. I myself am going to be joining him right after this show. Actually got to go catch a flight at LAX, which should be a lot of fun. I actually haven't been there since they did the whole Uber fiasco where they make everybody go to a shuttle area, I guess, and then go to their terminal. I'm not even sure. I have no idea. But yeah, man, I will hold myself accountable, though. I was a bit late, 5 minutes late to be exact, which isn't that bad considering, like, I was just not packed like 2 hours ago. I had to get over here, get everything going. Mikhail wasn't expecting me, so I had to unlock everything, get logged on. That took some time. My phone died. Bunch of shit happened. But nonetheless, I'm here. Shout out to the Good News. Shout out to the Good News. Shout out to the X Squad affiliates. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to Swerve Serve, the social media guru, our cannabis connoisseur, I guess you could say. Hold on, let me find her drop real quick. But yeah, man, shout out to Serve. She was out there with us at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl just this past weekend. So for those of you who don't know, I've covered the NFLPA game the last 4 years. We talked a little bit about it last week because Kenny was at the practices. Now, we actually got out to the game, did a bunch of stuff on Snapchat, TDT_overtime on Snapchat, where you can find all our draft coverage. Did a bunch of stuff there. Serve pulled up. She was there. She was in the stands. It was pretty live from where she was sitting at. So she had a totally different point of view than we did from the press box, which was actually dope. And so, because I am the solo chair today, I am the one and only chair today, I'm going to start today's show with another tangent related to that. So, when I be in these press boxes, I really don't care to talk to people. I'm there to write. I'm there to report. I'm there to watch the game. And I'm there to do social media. I'm not one of those people that go ahead and walk up and introduce themselves. And that's fine. I know it's part of the job. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. That's great. That's fine. That's dandy. But for me, it's always been about doing work. It's always been about doing good work that gets you noticed. So when you walk into the room, people already know who you are. You don't have to introduce yourself. Hey, I seen you on social media. Hey, I see you pumping out these articles. Hey, who are you? I see you coming to all these practices, all these events, et cetera, et cetera. So honestly, I don't really care for the whole camaraderie of being in a press box and the fraternity that is sports journalism. I don't really care for all that. I mostly do this out of volunteer or for very cheap. So for me, I'm there because I want to be there. I'm there because I like to be there. I'm there for my people. I'm there to tell stories. But as far as the politicking, I don't really care. Which brings me to my point and brings it all together. Honestly, man, having Kenny in the press box last week for the first time, it was the first time we really covered a game together, was really amazing. It was refreshing. You know, as much shit as I give Kenny, I'm really proud of all the accomplishments he's had, and he's gone through all this adversity, and he's still here. And just having him in the press box, having someone like me, and if you listen to this show, you know Kenny's nothing like me, but just having someone who's brown, who's young, who actually understands football in the same realm as I do, was totally refreshing. And it was funny, and everyone in that press box had a great time because of Kenny. So shout out to Kenny. We need your energy in those press boxes. Keep going. See you in Mobile. He's going to be calling in soon, but I just wanted to start off with that. Shout out to Surf for holding it down in her first real media event coverage. She did some good stuff. So yeah, shout out to them. Outside of that, man, recapping the NFLPA game. Essentially, for those of you who don't know, NFLPA game is usually for late rounders, undrafted, but they actually have their deepest talent pool this year. They have a couple mid-round guys, some day 2 and day 3 guys, which is pretty good for them. Now, the best part of the game was, honestly, Coach Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson putting together great staffs they've worked with before, players, all of that. Because in case you forgot, or what we talked about 2 weeks ago, there really hasn't been any black coaches hired this offseason. And having those two black coaches face off with each other, trying to get another look, trying to get that taste of coaching again, it was great to watch, and I'm glad that it happened, and I hope that this puts them that much closer to getting back into the league, or, more importantly, helps their assistants get on who were also part of the game. So that's as far as that. Now, in terms of risers and fallers, there's a bunch of them. You can go to Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime and listen to some of the interviews we did. I'm going to play just a few. Here's one that I know Kenny's really high on. This is Levante Taylor from FSU. I'm going to go ahead and play back his full interview, which you can also hear on the Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime platform. If there's no ads, hold on. You know me, I had to get the bag, so there might be an ad. Hold on. An ad on an ad on a radio station. Wow. Great, great first solo mic show, Pete.
All right. I remember when you were talking about last year you were going to go back to school, unfinished business. Do you feel like you kind of did everything you need to do on the individual level to be better?
Yeah, I feel like me doing what I needed to do in the off season, finishing school as well, graduating in three and a half years, being the first one in my family to graduate, get a college degree, and then doing what I had to do in the field. Obviously, the record for my team didn't show. We went to a bowl game. For the state, the standard is higher. But overall, I feel like I did what I needed to do, that I was planning on doing. And came out here for the NFL PA bowl game and had a great week of practice. Now it's time to bring everything else to the game on Saturday.
And do you feel like, because maybe the team didn't have the best record, do you still feel like where you fit in amongst the top corners in this class?
I mean, I feel like I'm the best corner. You check everything, man, press technique, all that. I'm going to let that speak for itself, but, you know, I played safety this year. Safety never did my thing, but, you know, I did it. Coach asked me to. I'm a natural corner. That's why I came out here, and I was grateful to have this opportunity to come out here and show that.
Do you feel like if you had to, though, you could go back to it, the next level?
What's a corner?
Safety.
Yeah, I'll do anything, but I'm a natural corner and nickel.
And as far as, Florida State, some say it's DBU.
Yeah.
You got Deion Sanders there, Willie Taggart, everything that was going on. Do you feel like because of that, you're even more prepared for what might come next at the next level?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd say by me coming in with Jimbo Fisher, I came in with a great coaching staff like him, just learning the ins and outs of different kind of things and just being there early with a lot of great players like Bill James and having Jalen Ramsey in my corner. And then, you know, my junior year, that's when Willie Taggart came over, and I learned new things with them too as well. So I just feel like me having different coaching changes, you know, it allowed me to learn and pick up other things more quickly.
So did you get a ring your freshman year?
Yeah.
So how was that experience?
It was pretty cool, and actually started that game too. Nicholas too versus Michigan. So it was cool, really.
And as far as just preparing for the draft, I mean, worried about 40 times, anything like that?
You say my worry about it?
Yeah.
No, I never been working on 40. I always been fast.
You think you're trying to set a record?
Really just trying to do the best I can. I'm going to be honest. Like, I ain't no 4.2 guy, but I know for sure I can run a little 4.3.
And as far as what receivers have to worry about when they line up against you, at least this class, where do you feel like you're the biggest problem?
I just feel like I'm the biggest problem because, you know, I'm very twitchy and I have great feet. I feel a great pace at the line of scrimmage.
Cool. And as far as this game of receivers, who kind of, like, gave you the toughest battle out there?
This week in practice?
Yeah.
I really you ain't even have nobody give me no work like that. Baby. I'd say the best receiver on my team is probably Stewart, Michigan State. Mm.
Yeah. That's what's up, though. Thank you. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, shoot. Now I'm open. I'm just listening to you and answer the question.
Yeah. But as far as like the pro day, like,
that's my favorite part. He said, that's your job to answer the question.
You know, it's so much opportunity out here. It's so much thing to get better at. You feel me? We don't have so much of time to focus on different things. You feel me? So you might go to the combine. You might run a fast 40, bench press what you wanted to do, but you might not get the shuttle like you wanted to do. You feel me? So that's why I think the pro day and stuff like that is a good thing to go back there. After that, work on it and then show people the pro day that you can drop the time. You feel me? So,
and speaking of that, because corners, I mean, obviously they don't always bench press the most,
right?
But you look like you clearly didn't miss,
right?
Like benching the weight. So do you feel like, for you, that's a thing of pride, or you didn't really care to do bench at the combine?
So for me, like, I'm not the tallest DB, but I am one of the fastest DB, so I always want to work on speed and strength, so I always be up to par when it comes to weight limits, rather than being the tall guy. Some of those tall guys, they don't care to be in the weight room for me. Yeah. Use that link, but me, I need my speed, I need everything, you feel me? To make up for the hype. So always been a good bench presser, so I'm not really worried about the bench press either.
Cool. Anything else you want to add as far as just the game, training, anything?
No, that's great.
Cool. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
What's good, everybody? PD Camarillo here.
Well, the second part of the interview was supposed to play. I don't know what happened there. I guess it's an ad. But, yeah. So, pretty much, Levante Taylor, former champion with the FSU before they fell off a cliff. He was at the NFLPA game. He made himself some money, showing the ability to play slot, safety, and corner. My favorite part of the interview, though, was when he tells Kenny, like, I'm just waiting for you to ask the questions. But between that, between him talking about being a 4-3 guy, you could really just feel his swagger. I think the next interview, Kenny actually talked to him after the game about how he played. I believe he had one tackle, but really didn't get tested, so it's really hard to say. But either way, he's someone to look out for in the later rounds. I'm gonna play the second part of the clip just because I want to give you an idea of the sort of range this podcast has, as well as an understanding of what we're doing on Anchor with Kenny's Community Conversations, where Kenny goes and speaks to random people in the football community, people from high school coaches all the way up to aspiring players. So hopefully this is the right part of the second interview.
It's really just opening up your phone.
Nope, more of me. Here we go.
All right, so as far as how the game went, didn't get the results you wanted.
Yeah.
But how do you feel like you stacked up against the competition tonight?
Yeah, I feel like I stacked up pretty well. I didn't really have any balls thrown my way today in the game. I did my job at the end of the day. I made sure I got on to catch the ball, really. We didn't get the win, but we could have did better, but, you know, I always want to win.
And as far as how kind of what the national team was doing to get you that worked,
right,
what were really the biggest issues?
I would say sometimes some of our DBs didn't get their head around on the deep balls. And just coming up and miss a lot of tackles too.
And as far as like your mental mindset,
right,
kind of attacking this game compared to like bowl games and things,
right,
like that, where was that kind of level at?
Right. So you mean like bowl games for my college?
Yeah, college, like just big games of your career at FSU.
Right, right.
And then this game, where does it kind of all stack up together?
Yeah, I feel like everything is preparation is the same. But me just coming here and I just wanted to show the scouts, you know, that I'm on my natural corner. I can play press man to man, still at a high level, and just come out here and compete at a high level. So, I mean, it's pretty different once the scouts, you know, they out here, but, you know, in the game because it's actually my team.
And as far as this has been your last, potentially your last college game ever.
Right.
What is that? What's kind of the emotions you've been going through,
right,
you know, from here to now?
Yeah, just focus on being a pro, a real pro now. And just connecting well with other pros from my area, and just basically, just like you said, just ready to go out there and compete versus grown men.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that was Levante Taylor after the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Final note on that game. Shout out to James. Shout out to Tony. Shout out to Ron. Shout out to everybody else who was in that press box. It was lit. But ultimately, you just want to see these guys compete, make themselves some money, keep living out their dream. That's really what they did, and that's really what we did. So shout out to Brandon. Shout out for the NFLPA for giving us full access to all the field, the players helping us get guys for Kenny's Community Conversations and such. There's actually way more clips. If you go to Anchor, you can just type in Touchdowns and Tangents Anchor, Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime, anything like that, it's going to pop up. But yeah, so make sure you go check that out. And final note on the NFLPA game, final note. I think what really sets this podcast apart, and I've never always been able to quantify it, but whether you're a football nerd or a casual fan, you can come in here, you can listen, you can come in here and sit at the table, you can watch and feel welcomed and not feel like people are talking down to you or talking over you. And that's part of the extension into Kenny's Community Conversations. Kenny knows I suck at words. But yeah, and on top of that, man, I think the biggest thing is it's just about being yourself. Whether you're celebrating your successes as touchdowns or ranting and getting the shit that you need to get off your chest and telling your truth in tangents, as long as it's topical, as long as it doesn't suck, you have a place here. So we don't come in here trying to be personalities. I've joked before about trying to be the black Barstool or the Mexican Ringer and all that stuff, but realistically, Kenny and I don't come in here trying to be characters. We don't characterize ourselves. We don't try to change ourselves, try to be somebody else to entertain for the audience or anything like that. We just come in here. We share our takes. We share our tangents. We talk about touchdowns. We talk about turnovers. Whatever the case, we're our true and authentic selves. And you can feel that in this reporting. You could feel it when we're in the press box. You can feel it here at the Good News. You can feel it if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, FPC Radio, X Squad Affiliates, whatever it is. You know, we're ourselves. We're true to ourselves. And you're going to see even more of that this past weekend when I finally make it out to fucking Mobile, Alabama. Hopefully everything goes right and I don't have any shitty letover stories, because I will be in Denver for a while and my girl didn't pack my Raiders beanie. It's okay, boo. Still fuck with you. But yeah, that was an L. And yeah, man, shout out to the FanDuel's chat. Everyone out there who wants their money from me, don't worry, it's coming. I'm just dream chasing right now. I will Venmo you your money. Don't worry, it's coming. So transitioning to the Senior Bowl, the biggest difference between the Senior Bowl and the NFLPA game is really just profile. The Senior Bowl has all the clout. They have the Reese's sponsorship. They get the top talent from across the country, top players like, you know, Justin Herbert, you know, all across the board come flock to Mobile to really showcase their skills versus other top tier candidates. So Kenny's out there right now. He's interviewed quite a few people, but one of the ones I did want to highlight was Wisconsin linebacker Zach Braun, who is mocked anywhere from the early first to late second round. So here's Kenny on Media Day asking Braun a question about what he's trying to prove this week in the Senior Bowl.
What misconceptions, if any, do you want people to kind of cleared up about your game or just about being a Wisconsin linebacker?
Yeah, that's a big reason why I came here. I played in a 3-4 outside linebacker position in college. I want to prove that I can play off the ball and I'm comfortable playing off the ball as well, and I'm not just a pass rusher.
What do you feel like you most don't get credit for as far as what you did in your career?
Yeah, my ability to cover, I think. I did a very good job, very well. I did very well covering in college, and That's why I'm at the Senior Bowl. I'm here to clear that up.
What misconceptions, if any, do you?
See, one thing that I really like about what Kenny does and what I look to as far as a reporter is he's good at answering open-ended questions and just getting people in their zone, getting them comfortable to talk their own shit, to share their perspective. He's essentially just giving them a platform like, yo, like, be honest. Tell us where you're at. Tell us how you feel. Tell us where you think you suck and tell us where you think you succeed. Again, man, just touchdowns and tangents. That's all it is. That's all it comes down to. I know he actually interviewed Justin Herbert. I found a photo of him on somebody's random Periscope, and I screenshotted it, put it all over the stories. Like, he was my proud son. So shout out to him. Hopefully he's going to call in pretty soon. Give us what he saw at the Senior Bowl firsthand. I've never been there, so I'm really excited to hear from that. In the meantime, I can play another clip for you. Here's another vaulted linebacker from this draft class out of Alabama. He is Terrell Lewis. Kenny asked him, how did Alabama prepare you for where you're at now?
Alabama used to playing in the postseason. How do you feel like that prepares you mentally compared to other linebackers in this class, other players in this class?
It definitely prepares you mentally and physically to be ready to play a long season, knowing that transitioning to this next stage in the NFL, you're going to play long season, including preseason, the regular season, more games, stuff like that. So you kind of already going with the mindset, you, especially me personally, like knowing you have a routine on how you want, how you maintain your health, mental health, physical health throughout the whole season.
Being at Alabama, you used to
play. Yeah, so apparently, I guess Kenny had to explain some vocabulary to Lewis, but ultimately, he just really wanted to know, you play at the best school in the country. Does that give you an advantage being here against all this other top-level competition? I wonder who that could be. Hello, caller. Give us your name and your location.
Kenneth Berry, and I am in Mobile, Alabama.
I'm sorry, where are you?
Kenneth Berry, and I'm in Mobile, California.
You're
wow, I said California. Mobile, Alabama. Wow.
In a while,
it's all good. It happens.
But yeah, man. So, for those of you who don't know, that's his favorite soundbite. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, so other half of Touchdowns and Tangents, he's the one whose interviews I've been playing back this past what 30 or so minutes. So Kenny, with that said, speak to the people. What are you doing right now? How's Mobile been? How was the whole experience getting there? Go off on a tangent. Get your shit off.
Oh, man. Where should I start? Let's see. Actually, getting through TSA was the easiest it's ever been for me. I've actually been on a plane in like since I was 16. So, you know, it's been like 12, 13 years since then. Got through LAX. And actually, if you take an Uber, they'll drop you off at your terminal. But on the way back, you got to walk over to the area with the tents. And the Uber driver that I had was complaining how they have the canopies and everything set up. Even when it rains, they still get wet. So it's kind of a dick move. But that's LAX for you.
Okay, so I should be good if I leave with 2 hours?
Right now, yeah, you should get through pretty quick. And also,
all right, so let me ask you this on a tangent. Should I go back and get my jacket and my beanie that I forgot? Or should I just wing it with a hoodie and a blazer?
No. You will die. I came out with just my leather jacket. I
had my sweaters and hoodies packed, and I took them out because I thought I was Billy Badass. And as soon as, oh yeah, I got stuck in the airport, but I'll get to that in a minute. I came out here, and it was 28 degrees in the morning.
And wow.
There's 28 degrees, and then there's 28 degrees in fucking Alabama. I can see my own breath.
Bitch!
Feel my fingers slowly freezing. I could feel the circulation going out. It started getting puffy. My skin turned white. Damn, it turned into a
sure that wasn't diabetes. Are we sure?
No. It was
is that verified?
For sure.
Okay.
No.
Just making sure.
Hypertension, probably. Wasn't diabetes. I didn't have an EpiPen or anything. I was good. But it was so cold, and all I had was like some slacks, some jeans, some dress shoes, boy. And I had the middle seat from LA to Houston. So you can guess how that shit went. I was so mad. Cause it was next to
okay. So, what? So, there you are, walking in with your little backpack, you know, strolling into the plane. What was the person's face when you made eye contact with them and you were like, oh, that's my seat in your head? And then you made eye contact with them and they're like, oh, shit, is he going for it? What were their expression like? And then when you were like, excuse me.
The worst part was I was in the back of the fucking plane.
Oh, they had their hopes like, all up. They were like, oh, shit.
I did not deserve.
They're like, this dude's not showing up. They're like, oh, please, 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 please. And every person just kept sitting down. There you were just walking through the aisle. You just kept walking till finally you made it to the aisle.
I was praying that I got like all the way to the back of the plane so at least I could be in the corner. And I purposely didn't drink it. I mean, I had a beer and the greatest chicken quesadilla I've ever eaten in my life at LAX. Like, that shit was so good. Like, I really just wanted to hug the bartender and tell him thank you. I tipped him $5. So I just wanted to be like, fam, like, you have no idea, like, what this meal meant to me just now.
So,
you know, honestly, I'm going to go back. When I come back from LA, I'm going to that spot. To get that same chicken quesadilla.
So you're going to willingly pay like $5 more for a quesadilla you can make. You can literally make at home. Like, you literally work at a deli. You literally can make that for free.
And I would have made a better one. But it's like when someone makes a sandwich for you, well, except for me because I make perfect sandwiches. But if it's anybody else, when someone makes a sandwich for you, it just tastes better.
Yeah, it really does. I don't know what that is. All right, so you're on the plane now. What was the layover in Houston like? Go through that.
This cute-ass chick in yoga pants, little thick chick was sitting next to me. I swear I thought she was Asian at first, but then I looked up and I was like, oh, no, you're actually probably white. I don't, whatever. But, like, she was so comfortable in the aisle seat, it was making me mad. Because I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you have all this goddamn room and all that ass. Like, I'm impressed, like, dimension-wise.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being problematic right now. But still, I was like, I felt bad because the other dude was just like a white guy. He had a laptop or whatever. I was trying to watch the NFC Championship game, but the shit wasn't working where I was sitting at, but other people watching. And so I was looking at them watching and the AFC title game and all that, the Chiefs and the, you know, whoever, Titans. And I'm in the middle seat. And obviously, middle seat gets the armrest. That's not a discussion. And I'm just like,
I mean, yeah, when the middle seat is over 300 pounds, for sure.
I was like, I wish this chick would just be like, you know, you want to switch because clearly you need the leg space. And really, I just need the leg space. Everything else is fine.
Okay, Cam Newton.
No, for real. No bullshit. Like, my leg
underneath. If you had as much, if you
in front of me, my leg was all the way underneath the seat, bro.
If you had $100,000 in your pocket, what's the most you would give to have sat in either that aisle or window seat?
I would have fucking went to first class. You got me, man. I would have my money.
But if that wasn't an option,
then I'll just stay where I was at because it's not worth it. This coach, and I was in the back of the plane. At least I was next to the shitter. Which I never even got up and used the bathroom for the whole 3 hours.
Bro, you in a little ass airport shitter? Oh my God, you cannot write that. Holy shit, that's a podcast in
that's
itself.
Why I keep going there.
That's a podcast in itself.
And I was like, no.
Oh, shit.
This isn't funny.
All right, man, so get to the shit. You got to Houston. What happened? I want to know what happened officially on a record on the air to the people.
At like 6:13. So I get off the plane, and one of my, like, built-in anxieties, because I just have some irrational anxiety sometimes, it's like, I don't want my luggage to get lost, so let me check with, like, someone who works here. She's like, hey, should I go to baggage check claim? Because I know I'm switching flights, and the last time I was in the airport, you have, once you got off the plane, you have to go down to baggage claim and then check your fucking bag again. But again, this was 16 the last time I was in the airport. Things have changed, and the Houston airport, by the way, is incredibly nice. It's a great place to spend the night if you're lost.
It's okay.
Until they, you know.
I've had two layovers there for a total of like 2 hours.
Well, you'll be laid over there, but just know the little trams.
No, I'm going to Denver.
The subways there at Houston are actually really nice. They have like subways that take you to each terminal. It's really cool. And the food there is good. Except
yeah.
I wouldn't go to Whataburger. But, so yeah. I
told you Whataburger sucks.
And yeah, I know. I was looking at the menu and I was like, this shit looks like trash. Even the like display looks like trash on Grubhub.
It's not even Raleigh's adjacent.
Bro, Raleigh's is Checkers out here.
I know.
And it still looks good. I mean, the delivery fee is bullshit, but whatever. So that's what I was saying.
Get your big ass in an Uber and go get your fast food like you did for two decades.
Like that. It's because they had a sex ring. That's why they banned Uber in Alabama, certain places in Alabama, because it was like people picking up girls and like sexually trafficking them and all. It was and
good
like,
lord.
No Uber. And Lyft is cheaper anyway. And on top of that, Lyft links up with with my United account. So every time I use Lyft, I get points on my United account. So shameless plug. I think they do it for Delta too, but I just have United, so there you go. List is mad cheap out here. I looked at the buses and I was like, I'm not catching the bus out here. But you know, it's cool. Whatever. so I'm like, I'm asking this person, I'm like, just people work, I'm like, yo, should I go down there and check and see if my bag is they like running it straight through or is it, you know, down there? Yeah, you should probably check just to make sure. Not real. I'm like, I had 1 hour and 10 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I have time, but I don't have time. So I finally get down there. It was the longest walk ever just to get down to the terminal, just to get down there. And I walked around for like 25 minutes, like, yo, where's my shit? And then I finally go up to, you know, the baggage claim area to like one of the people. And I'm like, hey, I just got off the flight from Houston. I'm going to Alabama, though. Like, they said I'd have to come down here to get my luggage. I just want to make sure, like, is it going straight through the flight or do I have to pick it up and then check it again? Because this is a different airport. So they were like, no, it says it's going straight through. And here's your luggage number. I was like, they didn't give me a luggage number the first time. So I got the luggage number, went back upstairs, eventually found, like, a little subway that takes me to the Marriott, which is right next to the Houston airport. So I like went on that, had to work my way back upstairs. I actually was really close to my terminal, didn't realize it. And
sounds about right.
Say, hey, your plane's leaving in like 5-10 minutes. I was like, what? Well, when I was going back up, I talked to these people. They're like, okay, yeah, you already clearly went through checkpoints and everything else, TSA. Just walk all the way around and go through. When I started walking around and go through, it was blocked off. I'm like, yo, I literally, like, she got off my flight. Like, my terminal's right there. I don't want to go through TSA again. I just have to, like, you know, cut through this little thing and go there. I didn't even need to go through TSA again. But then the dude who was a supervisor he decided to be a dick, and it was a black guy. So I was just like, wow, really? He decided to be a dick, and instead of just escorting me through back to my gate where I was supposed to go, and I couldn't call my flight, he's like, no, you got to go back through TSA. I was like, bro, I don't have shit on me. Like, you clearly can see that. And if I got this far, clearly I've already been checked because they do a checkpoint downstairs too. So why the hell would I go through two checkpoints?
So they make me go through that shit, and then it beeps off, and it says I have metal in my groin and armpit. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit, because I went through LAX, and it was fine. Dude, light-skinned dude, he's like, yeah, I got to check you. And then he's explaining the process of a pat-down. I'm like, dude, I know what a pat-down is. Like, can we just get to the point? Because my gate's, like, right down that hallway, and I need to go. Pats me down. Acts fucking stupid for another 5-10 minutes. They're saying, oh, we don't know. We can't find the metal that's on you. I was like, because I don't have any metal on me other than the zipper on my pants, and I'm not taking that off. He's like, oh, okay. And then this, I had, like, a little string on the back of my pants, so he cut that off. He's like, well, that must be it. I was like, there's no metal in that. That's plastic. So literally there was nothing on me. So they held me there. Finally run to the gate, and the plane's still there, but they closed the door. And the lady wasn't there. No, but that, here's the worst part. I turn around because another guy was with me too, because he was held up. He was late for his flight, but they gave him, like, a hotel comp. I turn around, walk 2 feet, look at the board where the all the times are, and it still says my flight is boarding. Mind you, my flight was supposed to leave at 7:40. They boarded at like 7:15. I'm like, okay, I have time because it's like 7:35.
Like, they usually close it like 15 minutes before.
Yeah, that was kind of close. I get back up there. She's like, oh. I was like, well, can you let me through? Clearly, like, the flight hasn't left yet. And it's Houston to Mobile, which was a small flight anyway, so not a lot of people on it. I was like, could you just tell them? He's like, nah. She's like, nah, I tried. I was like, first off, you weren't even here when I got over here. You called me, and then I come over here, and you're not here. And then I walk back over here, and now you're here. You're telling me that, oh, you talked to the pilot already, lady? I know you didn't walk all the way down that ramp. I'm not stupid. You didn't walk that fast. I'm fat.
So what did you do for 8 hours while you were in Houston?
Oh, no, it wasn't 8 hours. It was 13.
What did you do for 13 hours?
Well, as I was texting y'all and getting killed in the group chat, started, you know, going through the stages of grief. I mean, it was blinding hot, mad rage. Like, it was quick, though.
Did you talk to the hotel? Did they give you an extra night or something?
No, they didn't even give me a fucking hotel. You're like, well, because you said you missed.
No, I'm talking about the hotel you're at now. Did you? Were you like, hey, I missed my flight?
Oh no, that was cool. I called them and I was like, hey, so they're not gonna be able to make it.
They didn't charge you?
I came the next day. So the because they wouldn't let me on the flight, and then 5 minutes after I argued with this lady, just let me on the flight. You guys clearly haven't left yet. You can walk me down there right now. Then they took the little thing off and separated it from the plane. And I was like, ma'am, I've been here for 10 minutes. You could have let me on. You're like, you didn't have to do that. She's like, oh, I can try to get you on the next flight to Baton Rouge. Oh, sorry. Nope, that left. Oh, I can try to get you on the next flight to Gulf Shore. Oh, sorry, that one just left. I was like, what the fuck, bitch? Like, you're not even helping. Now you're just honey-dicking me, and it's upsetting. So, well, you got to go to customer service, and they'll help you out. Go to customer service. Lady's like, damn, yeah, you are kind of fucked in so many words. But she gets me on a flight, the first flight out, the earliest flight, 7:25, Houston to Mobile. Fine. And it's aisle seat. I was like, thank you. I do not want a middle seat. It was a two-seater plane.
Okay, but you still skipped over the whole part of you being in Houston for 12 hours.
I'm wrapping this part up so now I can tell you what I did. The whole time I was in the Houston airport. So, once I do that, I talk to my mom, kind of depressed. I eat like 2 whole bags of gummy worms that I bought at LAX.
Fat boy, boy.
Like, honestly, like, the fact that I had enough presence of mind to buy lotion and 2 big-ass bundles of gummy worms and gummy bears at LAX, that was foreshadowing. I should have noticed that. But, yeah, I ate that. Walked around, looked for a place to charge my phone, took a piss, walked around, was depressed for a little bit, and then said, okay, I'm just going to figure this out. Sat down, charged my phone, kept drinking a bunch of water. This one dude and his kid were like, 2 people were like waiting on the plane. I think one of them was going to like Costa Rica or some shit, or like whatever. But they were there just pacing back and forth. I walked up to a massage chair, and I had like $4 in my pocket. So I just put that in and got like 30 minutes worth of massages in this massage chair, even though it didn't do anything for my neck, but it did everything for my back and my legs. So I was like, cool, got a massage. I'm calm now. Walked around, charged my phone, listened to music. Then I was like, okay. I waited like another probably hour for my flight and shit to update, because it updated on my phone first, and then it updated on the screen. I said, okay, well, now I know what flight I'm leaving, what terminal.
Okay,
is it?
We got it.
Boom. Go to,
you made
yeah,
it.
So I had to walk another 20 minutes to get up to Houston, where they have the subway part, hop the subway all the way to my terminal, and then I was pretty much just there, walking back and forth. Then charged all my phones, my laptops, everything.
So pretty much you just charge your shit.
Out.
Pretty much you just charge your shit and try to sleep.
No, I didn't even try to sleep. I just sat down, and then eventually I gave up, and I was like, okay, I have nothing left to do. I have to either stay up for the next 6 hours or sleep. And
so what was it like when you finally made it to Mobile? You got your credentials, all that. What was it like? Cause
it felt like a fucking weekend in Vegas, bro. It felt like I the hangover was over, and I was just like, okay. Like, once I got on the plane, I just took a deep sigh of relief, and I blacked out. I just kept blacking out and sleeping for like 45 minutes at a time. But the flight itself,
is it a blackout if you're asleep, though? Isn't that just sleep?
I blacked out before the flight.
That's the weirdest shit I ever heard.
Exactly.
He said I blacked out when I slept. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No, but like I don't remember like just casually, easily falling asleep. I just lost consciousness and then woke up. Like,
probably because you were so exhausted, you were probably not even fully asleep. You're probably just like in a weird vortex of sleep and being awake.
Like, something woke me up right at 6:45, and then I went to there was a Wendy's in the Houston airport, and they had bomb ass breakfast chicken sandwiches, so I copped two of those.
All right, man. So let's get to the actual practices. The reason why you're there. Who are some guys that jumped out at you? Some risers, some fallers, etc.
Well, I'm gonna. Like I said in the first article that I put out, and this is covers the span of 2 days, and because it was pouring down raining today, they had like a full capacity cutoff at the South Alabama training site, so a lot of people didn't get in. But for honestly, the best 2 days of practice were really, you know, yesterday and Wednesday. No, Tuesday and Wednesday were honestly the best 2 days as far as, like, because it was fair game. Everybody had the same amount of time to study their playbook. Some cats came in on media day, and the receivers were out there just killing people. Like, these corners are battle-tested. I give them all their props. They're good. I think a lot of them raised their stock, but, boy, they got shattered on. Like, I saw dudes get mossed. Like, it was so bad. I was like, damn, like, there's nothing you could have done else to defend that route. Like, Denzel Mims, Michael Pittman Jr. was the biggest standout. He can play special teams. He started playing special teams. Michael Pittman Jr. out of USC. Antonio Gandy Golden out of Liberty, like 6'4", 230 or 225. Freakish athlete. Maybe not a burner, but he's definitely fast enough. And he has, like, insane body control. He was embarrassing these DBs and just catching deep balls and just making people look stupid. All the receivers on both teams, North and South teams, honestly, a lot of these guys tremendously helped their draft grades. At least 10 receivers, I would say. There's a couple who are kind of Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame, I think, is going to have to gain some weight. And just become
so the two receivers that I saw a lot about on Twitter were KJ Hill.
Van Jefferson.
And Van Jefferson. Yeah, those were the guys that I saw a lot of.
Van Jefferson's a grown man. Yeah. That dude, he won best receiver. If you go look at the Reese's Bowls IG story right now, Jordan Love won practice player of the week. Herbert won best QB, be because he was the best QB.
Wait. What the fuck is that? Isn't Jordan Love a QB?
Yeah, I know.
And isn't it only practice?
Don't get me started on it.
So they literally, just found a reason to give the two highest profile people there an award.
Go check their IG story, bro. It's He's Jordan Love's the North QB.
Oh, okay. Okay. Makes sense.
He won North QB of the week, and then, even though they're on the same team, by the way.
Oh, that shit. Yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah. So yeah, I heard really all the Ohio State players really balled out, and also the LSU center Lloyd Cushenberry.
Third, yes.
And he was a late ad, right? He was a late ad, and they said he came in.
They added a dude out of Texas Tech at the last second. Tyrone Cleveland out of Florida, he was a late ad. I was surprised they didn't bring in Levante Taylor at corner. I was really shocked because he's competed against a lot of these guys. I don't know why they didn't. It was kind of a lackluster corner group in terms of names. I mean, some good players, Dane Jackson and Johnson out of Pittsburgh, really good competitor, scrappy. But Christian Fulton out of LSU declined. Breaquan Davis at the last second declined. D-tackle out of Alabama. I was really looking forward to talking to him because he's a freak of nature.
Javon Kinlaw made himself some money. He's done for the week, but dealing with some knee stuff.
Brandon Ayuk would have competed, but he had medical red flags.
How about the NCDN? Did you get a chance to see him? Because I know a lot of people were raving about him as well.
North Carolina?
Strobridge?
Yeah, he actually did really good. He whooped some people's asses on some reps. He looks like he can play inside, outside. A little bit DN.
What about the tackle group? Because I know,
Offensive tackle group?
I know you interviewed Taylor, who's a rising prospect, and then... they were talking about Ben Bartsch. They're talking about Josh Jones. So there's like a lot of small school tackles, and I'm just wondering if any of them are really, living up to the hype.
They kind of set the tone. As the practices went on, you could tell the O-line was getting comfortable, but that D-line was ferocious. If I had to pick which line was better, the defensive line was better. But Josh Jones, who only gave up 4 pressures the whole year out of Houston, was actually a former gymnast.
Oh, that's interesting to know.
A man his size was a gymnast.
And how did you feel about Josh Kelly tearing it up?
He ripped it up, but I knew that. He's the best running back on his team. And arguably the best running back here.
Oh, so now he's just a running back here, huh? You're not going to, shout out his affiliation?
I mean, he went to Boosie LA, but whatever. he's good too, but I think because he goes to UCLA – he's going to get knocked. He was one of the most competitive good corners here. Him and Van Jefferson were going at it. They had to be separated at one point. It got chippy. Shout out to Chips. But it got chippy.
How about Hurts?
You got to understand. Teams were hitting pads with something. Linebackers were smacking the shit out of people. The defensive line coaches for Cincinnati and especially Detroit did a great job.
Would you say it's the highest level of college football? Would you say it's the highest level of college football?
No, because because
they don't have the same execution. They don't have the same execution as in terms of the playoff teams?
No, because here's the thing you got to understand.
Basically, I'm asking you, would the North or the South team beat Bama or Clemson or Ohio State?
LSU? Maybe, yeah. I think the North team, definitely the North team with Herbert and Love.
But it would be close.
It's an all-star game. It would be great, but I think what you got to understand is LSU has, first-rounders all over the whole team. Their backups are future first-rounders.
Yeah, they're a Senior Bowl team on their own without people being in seniors.
Certain guys are the best players on their team at their schools, but their schools might have sucked like UConn. But their tackle's really good. Temple. Denzel Mims out of Baylor.
You just love shouting out a Baylor player any chance you get.
Hey, man, what can I say? And USC, too. Talk to Michael Pittman, man. He's like, I want people to realize I'm not slow.
He said, I'm not slow. I can play, and you'll see it. And he's not jacked like his dad, but he runs like him. After the catch, he embarrassed some corners.
But talk about Hurts. Talk about Hurts, because you haven't talked about him, and you got some weeds to own in your garden.
I was about to hit send on this article, too. With Hurts, he has a ways to go. He was good at times, but when he was bad, he was bad. And the second day, he missed on a lot of throws. It was bad. I think he needs to do what Dak Prescott did and really focus in on his feet and throwing and his accuracy. I think he'll still get drafted, but I'll just spill the tea now. I have a tier of quarterbacks here. My gold star QBs, who are both first rounders, Herbert. If I was the Chargers, I would draft Herbert and throw all the money I can at Derrick Henry. That's what I would do, because he is ready to go right now. He won. I asked him a question. By the way, that picture that you screenshotted of me, and that looks like a meme, and it looks like he's talking to his little brother.
I couldn't hear your audio part of it. But yeah, I don't know what you asked him.
Yeah, that part. I got that part. But I asked him pretty much. I was like, you know, with the fact that you won the academic Heisman, and you develop so much as a leader, like how much do you feel like that impacts your stock in this draft and your ability to be a leader? And he's like, you know, it's huge. I don't downplay it at all. Like, that's a huge accomplishment for me. And the fact that I was able to improve as a leader at Oregon and mature, and I won an academic Heisman, that says a lot about my mental makeup. And he was the most cerebral QB here, honestly. Just after 2 days, it was like, he's the best quarterback here, and he proved it on third day too with some of his throws. But I don't think it's as cut and dry. I know Joe Burrow's great, but I honestly don't see why you can't put Herbert up there with him, and Jordan Love is close too. He's definitely a certified first rounder. He just got to fix some things. He had a couple, you know, fumbled snaps from the center.
So, but. Final notes on the Senior Bowl. What are you looking forward to on Saturday?
Honestly, I just want to see how these corners play the opposite team's receivers, because all these receivers were eaten. I'm telling you, Van Jefferson, all these receivers at one point or another had just a play that made the whole crowd go, oh, my God. Some corners got picks. You know, they fall back. But these receivers are no joke. I think this entire senior class raised their stock as a collective group. This might be one of the best Senior Bowl rosters in a while, from top to bottom. And Christian Taylor, Alex Taylor, out of South Carolina State, the dude 6'8", has an 88-inch wingspan. Whoever gets him is getting a stud, a future star. He has all the tools. He got better every day. And also, I talked to Terrell Lewis out of Alabama, and I just got through
already played that interview.
Yeah. When I was talking to him, like, he's going to be a great tweener for somebody. I could see him playing.
Because he knows nothing but football? He's one of those guys?
He's literally just he's a football guy, yeah.
Putting it nicely.
Right. Yeah, like, he's straight up football. And it's him, Evan Weaver did really good. The inside linebackers did really good.
Yeah, that's what I heard a lot of, too.
There's a lot that did really good. And I'm glad they classified Fernie Jennings as an inside linebacker. Terrell Lewis is definitely.
How about the Appalachian State linebacker? And they said he did well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Akeem Davis?
Gaither, yeah. Akeem Davis Gaither, he's going to be a day one starter, I think, whoever picks him. He's fluid, he can cover, he's one of the most physical linebackers here for a guy who's only 6'2", 220. Like, when he's near the ball, he's making contact, he's making a play on it, or he's knocking the piss out of somebody.
But
and this defensive line, like, there's a lot of good players here, man. Like, even though Kim Law's not playing, there's no, I mean, he's obviously the best one. He's an enigma, but this is a really good defensive line class.
All right, man. So I got some other topics I want to get to. So just, you know, before closing it up.
The tight ends. Harrison Bryant, Mackey Award winner, best tight end, had like 1,000 yards at FAU under Lane Kiffin and everything. My comp for him is like baby Kelsey. He's like a Travis Kelsey kind of type with how he runs routes and can and dominate the seam. He'll get better as a blocker, but I think whoever gets Harrison Bryant, they're going to be happy.
All right. So anything else you want to say about tomorrow's future stars at the Senior Bowl before I let you go?
Yeah. So, like I said, Christian Fulton didn't show up because he was banged up and going through personal stuff. So a lot of guys just didn't show up. But I think every one of the guys who showed up, especially the receivers, they made a huge name for themselves. And I think I could see 20 receivers getting drafted in the first two rounds.
Wow, that's a lot. All right, man. So anything else you want to say just in general?
No, man. Other than the fact that Bama's, you know, Alabama's been treating me right. It's really nice.
It's not as bad as you thought it was, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad, but it's not bad where I'm at. So, you know, that's cool. And, yeah, I mean, the TV is not what my watch on TV, so I just turn it off. But and the time difference isn't that bad either. And I've been...
I always recommend watching local news. I always recommend watching local news whenever you're somewhere else. It's just always a different perspective. Yeah. You get to see what's
somebody
going on in the community, but you also get to see kind of how they market news and the way they see news, and you know, the personalities there are pretty reflective of what's going on.
I'm actually right next to the Fox 10 news station, man. It's
I thought you said the top 10 news station. I was like,
Fox 10 news station and a movie theater. And a Costco.
All right, man. Well, on that note, I'll see you in, I don't know, like
12 hours,
14 hours, 16 hours, something like that.
My time, 12 hours. Make sure you bring two hoodies, a thick sweater, lotion, and comfortable socks.
All right, man. So.
And an umbrella. It's going
to rain. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. Have a good night. Get some rest. And, yeah, man, peace.
Peace, man. Have a great show.
Thanks. Yeah, man. Shout out to Kenny Berry. I don't know who moved the red one. But, yeah, man, shout out to Kenny calling in live from Mobile. I'm about to be out there tomorrow. I'm excited for that. So, with that, I think there's some shit we got to talk about in the NFL this week. Let's see if I can find the drop right now.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so first up, the Pro Bowl. If you've been on social media this week, you know the NFL Pro Bowl is going down. We've talked about it, or I guess we've skimmed through it, but the Pro Bowl is happening. Nobody really cares. I think, honestly, they should probably move it back to the week after the Super Bowl so that the Super Bowl players can actually play in it again, because I haven't been as interested with that, because how are you going to have an all-star game without two of the best teams? Just doesn't do it for me. And honestly, I don't think players are that excited to go to Orlando, because seeing all these pictures, like all these pictures across social media, whether it was the Chargers, whether it was Amari Cooper who got memed for it, it's just like all these dudes don't look happy. Like they don't look ecstatic to be at an all-star game in Orlando. Like, let's stop fucking around with the Pro Bowl. Let's move it back to Hawaii. Let's move it back after the Super Bowl. And let's up the bonuses from 35 and 70,000 to whatever will get these guys to actually play and want to be there. Because right now, Orlando, the week before the Super Bowl, is not where they want to be. So we got to do something about that. Other news this week. I just thought this shit was funny, honestly. So, I believe it was earlier this year. I think Bleacher Report or somebody had Terrell Owens on. And Terrell Owens did what he always does. Stirred up some shit. He brought up the whole Super Bowl about how McNabb was throwing up. It might have even been on Twitter he did this. Anyways, so now McNabb went on to another show and was talking about this whole ordeal, saying he didn't throw up, saying, you know, it was T.O. who tore up the Eagles, saying that, you know, him and T.O.'s relationship still hasn't recovered. They still don't talk. They're still salty over that Super Bowl. And I don't blame them, frankly, but T.O. came back at McNabb and was like, okay, really, bro? Did you tell him that you told him to pay Westbrook over me? Ultimately, I just think all this shit is hilarious because it's like these two grown-ass men who have developed into personalities after the fact are still bickering about a Super Bowl that was almost a decade and a half ago. Like, really? Y'all don't have kids or some other shit to, like, talk about or be proud about? Moreover, I just think it's hilarious because it's like, is that what's going to happen to me and Kenny? Are we going to be that petty if we ever go our separate ways? Like, or is there another level of pettiness beyond McNabb and T.O.? Because honestly, I can't really think of a worse breakup than McNabb or T.O. If you can think of one, you can tweet me at Pete Certified, or you can hit me up on Instagram, PDC, spelled out. If you don't know it, then you probably don't need to know it. Nonetheless, other news this week, man. My fucking Raiders. My Raiders are officially the Vegas Raiders. I know, man. Breaking news, but it's official. Just win, baby. The Raiders have left Oakland. They're now in Vegas. They've been parading Derek Carr around doing PR, talking about how excited he is to be at the Vegas Raiders and all that. And it's great, and it's fine, and it is what it is. But honestly, as someone who's been writing about the Raiders for the past 6 years, every day, religiously, it's not easy for me to write Vegas or Las Vegas or Sin City Raiders or write anything other than Oakland in front of Raiders, honestly. Even writing L.A. feels weird. And they were actually here for 10 years. But it's happening. They're moving to the Death Star in Vegas. And between that, between the draft officially, logistics being released, they're going to have the draft in Vegas in 2020. Hopefully, Kenny and I will be there. But they're going to essentially shuttle draft picks. Instead of walking across the stage, they're actually going to beat in boats and go across the fountains in front of the Bellagio, I believe. Is it the Bellagio or Caesars? I think the draft is at Caesars and the podium's going to be in front of Bellagio, something like that. But yeah, everything's going to be free, open to the public. It's going to be in prime time. They're going to have concerts. It's going to be a whole ordeal. It's going to be a whole NFL festival for essentially 3 days in Vegas, which will be a crazy welcoming parade for the NFL and for the Raiders and for this whole experience. And we'll see how it all plays out. But honestly, it kind of seems a lot like organized chaos. To be determined. But yeah, I mean, and outside of the Raiders, you know, leaving their home, we just have to accept it. Like, there's nothing else we can do. The Vegas Raiders are here, and we have to get on board. Just like we have to get on board with the fact that the L.A. stadium is 85% done. Across social media, there was all sorts of videos of the stadium, the new arena, the new ceiling, and everything else going on there. So, you know, it doesn't matter that we're in a housing crisis or, you know, traffic is bad and roads are bad and our earthquake is coming. But hey, we have a shiny new stadium development being done in Inglewood, Los Angeles. So it's something to be excited about, right, folks? shaking my head. But in other good news, man, shout out to the Raiders. One thing they did do as the Vegas Raiders was donating $500K to help the state of Nevada clear debt for kids. I think that one really hit home to me just because, one, I know how bad Vegas public schools are. Like, and so I can imagine how much students are in debt there. And I can't help but think nutrition and you know, being able to eat a meal has something to do with that. And, you know, being shamed in a lunch line because you can't afford lunch because your mom forgot to pay the account, or your mom couldn't pay the account, or your mom didn't have the money to give you. Like, all that shit is unnecessary. And the fact that the Raiders are, you know, making their first step in the community by taking care of that is really going to help them develop some lifelong fans, and it spreads goodwill. As someone who's been there in those lunch lines, you know, I mostly had lunch free, but the people that didn't, I know some days they didn't have their lunch bags. I know some days, you know, I threw them a little milk bag or a little chip bag because it was what it was. Like, that's what we did to maintain. That's what we had to do. So shout out to the Raiders for doing that bit of good news. Couple other announcements. Antonio Brown update, because we need another one of those. But yeah, Antonio Brown is wanted by the police for a assault incident that happened Tuesday of this week in Florida. They're calling it a burglary and battery. Man, this story, you really can't write it. Like, this whole 30 for 30 from the day that Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh until, like, I don't even know, because every time I think it's over, it just keeps developing. It's outside of people getting murdered, it's probably the most outrageous thing since Aaron Hernandez, which I unfortunately had to shave my beard because I suck at lining shit up. And so I was trying to keep my beard when I got this fresh cut and going to Mobile so I could continue to disguise myself as not fake Fat Hernandez. Since this fucking movie dropped, everyone's been DMing me, "Oh, you look like Aaron Hernandez," messaging me, "You look like Aaron Hernandez. Hey, you hear that Aaron Hernandez documentary?" And so I tried to grow out my beard to go incognito. But no more. The beard had to go. I'm in full Fat Aaron Hernandez clone. So if you see me out in these streets, no, I am not Aaron Hernandez. Okay? Okay. Duffy sigh. Speaking of other shit that happened this week that you probably don't care about, the Raiders signed Nevin Lawson to a 1-year, $3.5 million contract. Dude ended up starting for them really out of necessity and injuries, but I read somewhere that he's gone the longest without a pick in like years, like 400 snaps without a pick is unprecedented. Of course, he doesn't get tested. He does have some versatility. He's a decent player, but the price is right. I'm just not in love with it, man. That's your first transactional move as the Vegas Raiders? Signing Nevin Lawson? Like, really? I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but honestly, it was a slow week outside of the Senior Bowl. So, I got to talk something in the NFL. Which, again, here's another tired story. Another story that probably doesn't impact you, and you might not even care about. Eli Manning is the first person from the 2004 QB class to retire. He leaves his peers, Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers, behind by announcing his retirement. Rivers is still trying to play. Roethlisberger is still trying to play. But Eli says he is heading out. Eli earned $252 million, which is the most of the 2004 draft class. But some people expect him to get surpassed by that in 2020. And we have a caller, so. Hello, caller. What is your name and location?
My name is Fat Aaron Hernandez.
What do you want? I'm closing out the show.
Just wanted to tell you. Holy shit, Fat Aaron Hernandez. Why did you give me that? Like, I'm going to use that. I'm putting it. That's the name.
No, the correct quote was Fat Hernandez. The correct quote was Fat Hernandez.
Yeah, Fat Hernandez. That's what's on your Touchdowns and Tangents hoodie when I come back to Cali. You're welcome. It'll be waiting for you when you get there. But Eli Manning retired and so did Antonio Gates.
I literally just said that.
I know. I just wanted to just let you know.
All right, man. Well, yeah, since you're here, do you want to do an unnecessary toughness rant? Can you do it in 2 minutes? Because I got to go get a beanie and a sweater, apparently.
I'm just chilling, writing stories and eating ice cream that I got from McDonald's off of DoorDash. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm chilling.
All right.
Yeah, bring an umbrella. Pack your jacket.
All right, man. Peace. I'll see you in a bit. All right, so my unnecessary toughness rant, I really don't have one. I already kind of started the show with the rant talking about, you know, Kenny and I's place in the sports media game and the whole Touchdowns and Tangents brand. And I also talked a lot about Senior Bowl, All-Star Games, and then went on a few takes and tangents for the record just to keep you up to date with the NFL. We're going to get more into the Super Bowl next week. Hopefully have a few guests in here for you. Some guests, hopefully representing both sides right now. You know, we're heavily Chief focused. Shout out to Mikhail PG. Also going to try to get Gunnels in here since he's also a Chiefs fan. But yeah, that should be an interesting show. Our Super Bowl show is always interesting. We always keep it fun. So definitely tune in for that. Otherwise, man, shout out to the Good News Sports. Shout out to the Good News Radio Station. Shout out to the X Squad affiliates. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to your favorite podcast platform where you can find this podcast. You can also go to touchdownsandtangents.com. Go to the Listen tab. You can find all our platforms that we're at. You can also go to TDT space OT where you can find our overtime podcast featuring, you know, our other takes from around the sports world and also Kenny's community conversations and our live reporting. So make sure you go there for the bonus content. And lastly, TDs_tangents on Instagram and Twitter. Follow us, like us, hate us, whatever you got to do. And TDT_overtime on Snapchat for all the draft content. So with that, I am PD Camarillo. I thank you for holding on with me through this show. I know I rambled a lot. I was all over the place. But that's just who I am. So that's just who I'm going to be. And with that, man, that's not the right job. But yeah, man, this is Touchdowns and Tangents. I'm out. Good night and good luck.